Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit, where we help you help yourself with your health. Our topic today is probiotics for more than digestion, part two. To hear part one, visit thehealthyhabit.ca, click interviews, and scroll down alphabetically to probiotics. And returning this month is Dr. Ludovic Brunel. Dr. Brunel has over 15 years' experience as a naturopathic doctor. He studied human nutrition at McGill University in Montreal and continued his education at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. Good morning, Doctor, and welcome back to Insights for Health.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Last month when you were here, we talked about the importance of a healthy gut for the immune system, our mood, our overall health, and we discussed the major role that probiotics play. And just for the listener, if you didn't hear that interview, if you just visit our website, thehealthyhabit.ca, and scroll down alphabetically to probiotics more than digestion, you'll be able to hear that first interview. And doctor, with probiotics, there seems to be two main categories along with some good beneficial yeast. Can you explain what those are and how they work?
You know, there's hundreds of different bacteria in our bowels. Some of them will belong to different categories, as you mentioned. Some of the most commonly used in terms of both fermented foods and supplementation are the lactobacillus. The lactobacillus, we know, helps in terms of preventing more dangerous bacteria from getting into our gut. So we know that they'll inhibit the growth of things like E. coli, Salmonella, Staph aureus, things that can harm us and cause food poisoning and infections. They also help to break down cholesterol, and so they can help us maintain healthier cholesterol levels. They ferment sugars into lactic acid, therefore the name lactobacillus. And they're also the ones that are often found in dairy, especially yogurt. So lactobacillus, very commonly used. The other one that's very common is the bifidobacterium. And they're probably the major type of bacteria in our gastrointestinal tract. They block pathogens again. They help to decrease the symptoms associated with IBS. They reduce inflammation very significantly in our gut as well. And they improve the rates of remission in things like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's because of that. And then there's also yeast in our gut. So there's, of course, bacteria, but yeast is another component. And in terms of research on supplementation with yeast, Saccharomyces boulardii probably has the most research. And it behaves very similarly to some of the probiotics. So it helps prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea. It's been shown to be effective at preventing C. diff from colonizing the gut and causing problems. It's also effective against H. pylori, one of the bugs that causes stomach ulcers. And so those three, the lactobacilli, bifidobacteria, and the Saccharomyces boulardii are some of the most researched types of probiotics, even if Saccharomyces boulardii, because it's a yeast, it's not categorized as a probiotic.
So they come in different strains. They come in different amounts of CFUs or colony-forming units. So like, I know there's one brand out there, I'm not going to name it, but there's 10 million with one strain. New Roots, for example, will have anywhere from 10 billion to 120 billion, as opposed to just that 10 million. I mean, you'd need 1,000 capsules of that other brand to get one capsule of yours, or of the New Roots brand. What is that difference? Like, why do they have so many billion, and why are there so many different strains?
With the probiotics, most of the studies that show that probiotics are effective and help to improve overall health, gut health, symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome, typically we see that probiotics will be more effective if we're using multiple strains. And of course, that makes sense because our gut has hundreds of strains of different bacteria, as I was mentioning earlier. And so it helps to prevent problems in different areas. It helps reduce inflammation in different areas of small and large intestines. They'll help to prevent the colonization of different organisms depending on the species or the strain. So if we're using more strains, then we get broader benefits. Now, in terms of the live organisms, the CFUs, as you were mentioning, so the colony-forming units, if we have higher counts, typically there's a better chance that they'll survive the enzymes, the acid, and be able to get to where they need to be to perform their magic and enhance health.
And with the different strains too, I guess it'd be like a symphony almost, wouldn't it? Like the whole symphony is not going to be just violins, or it's not going to just be French horns or just oboes. I mean, they're all going to work synergistically.
For sure. So some, for example, the lactobacilli we know will help break down lactose, which can help patients that have problems with lactose intolerance. Others are going to be better at stimulating the immune system, better at preventing autoimmune problems, better at preventing irritable bowel syndrome symptoms. So again, it's important to try to have a broad spectrum and different species in the product to get the most benefits.
Now, on the labels, you will see, in regards to strains, we'll see a human strain, we'll see dairy, we'll see plant. What's the differences there, doctor?
Well, when it comes down to it, you know, they all have similar benefits. The dairy probiotics have tons of research. We've co-evolved with a lot of them. We've been using them for a very long time. A lot of them are naturally found in our gut. They tend to help balance the immune system. They are really effective at decreasing the pH or increasing the acidity and preventing colonization of harmful things. The human probiotics in terms of the immune system are amazing. They help to balance our immune system. They also protect us from infections. And then the plant probiotics, like a good example, would be Saccharomyces boulardii. It's actually a yeast, but it's was first identified on tropical fruits, on the peel, and has all kinds of benefits in terms of preventing small intestinal bowel problems. It also helps in terms of antibiotic-associated diarrhea. So, you know, again, it just provides us with broader benefits and helps protect our overall health.
So these probiotics are cultured, correct? And then they're collected and encapsulized?
Exactly. That's correct.
So are these the substrates that they're cultured on, the human, the plant, the dairy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's sometimes where they're first identified. But, you know, a lot of the dairy-derived probiotics are also naturally found in our gut, and some will develop after breastfeeding and infants.
Yeah. Now, someone's going to come in, and they're going to say, I'm lactose intolerant. Will that dairy strain be of a negative effect on that individual?
Typically not. I know in the case of New Roots, it wouldn't be, because there's no proteins left and there's no lactose left. And so typically those patients react to either the protein, the casein. In the case of lactose intolerance, of course, it's the lactose. And so although they're grown in these environments, they should be totally fine for those individuals.
Even though it's grown on it, there's none of that left in it.
Exactly.
What I found interesting too is in some of the different formulations by New Roots, they include colostrum. And colostrum is that first form of breast milk. Why is that part of the formulation?
Colostrum is the first form of breast milk. It contains a lot of what we call immunoglobulins, or proteins that have an effect on the immune system. They stimulate the immune system. So in terms of the benefit of adding it to a probiotic product, it helps to support the effect on the immune system that the probiotics would have. It also helps to feed the probiotic bacteria. And so in terms of improving the effectiveness, if the bacteria is delivered with some food, then it's more likely to thrive and colonize the gut.
So there's refrigerated probiotics, and then there's what they call shelf-stable probiotics. What are your views on those two approaches?
That's a great comment. And most of the research in terms of especially the lactobacilli and the bifidobacteria, you know, those strains are very sensitive to temperature. essentially, if they're not kept refrigerated, they really don't survive very long, and the counts drop very quickly. There are some bacteria that are less susceptible to higher temperatures, and they'll be stable for longer, but all the bacteria will have decreasing counts when they're kept at higher temperatures, and they will perish or become less effective more quickly if they're not refrigerated. And so because the bacteria or the strains of bacteria that have the most research need to be refrigerated, I think, fortunately, customers are selling themselves short if they're buying a probiotic that's stable for convenience. After all, it's being used as medicine to improve health. And so it makes a lot of sense to get something that's refrigerated. Probiotics should be considered like food. And just as we were mentioning in the previous show, if we're using food products, because they're fermented, they should be kept refrigerated. If they're not kept refrigerated, then typically they won't have those healthy bacteria. In the case of shelf-stable probiotics, I think we're compromising on the effectiveness by using strains that are more shelf-stable, and they will still lose their effectiveness more quickly if they're not refrigerated anyways. So I think it becomes more convenient for the supplier if it can be kept on the shelf. It's less expensive in terms of shipping. So, you know, if you're using probiotics for your health, please use a probiotic that's refrigerated.
If you're giving up some diversity, you're not getting the full benefit either, are you?
Exactly. It limits what can be used, limits the effectiveness as well, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, let's continue our conversation on the benefits of probiotics and a healthy gut.